Hello everybody, welcome to the Game On Your Podcast. This is day 3 of GDC, and I'm sitting here today, of course, with the co-host. How are you doing?
Are you there? Hello. Tune in.
All right. I'm just gonna translate that. That's Damien Kaspar on the podcast right there. I know he had a really good time yesterday, as you can tell. So I'm just gonna go a circle around who's here today.
George Hefnagel here.
Awesome. But nice you could join us, George.
Good morning. Glad you're here.
Nice to George.
Yeah, I'm here again this morning, man.
Cool.
Jesse from Seattle.
Huh?
Represent. Same old, the Costern from where I'm from.
Where are you from?
Where I'm from. Sometimes I forget.
Well.
He's an Eastern European blend.
Yeah. Mm. Whatever you want.
You would say California, but
right.
I wouldn't say that, no. Yeah, I got an accent, but because I'm not talking so much today, I'm just going to be listening.
Well, people might remember Carsten from, what was it, like episode 1 or 2?
Yeah,
like one of the OG guys, you know.
OG, yeah. Represent.
It's awesome meeting up
with
Carsten.
Hanging with the crowd, yeah.
It's great. Actually, at the time of that podcast, you were also working in America, but on the other coast.
Yeah, on the other coast. Yeah.
You liking this coast?
I'm a global player, you know.
Yeah. How are you liking things in the West Coast?
It's better, it's nice, you know, it's not too much fried food.
Okay.
You know, Florida is all about fried food, so
California,
alligator tails. Yes. Alligator tails.
Oh. So, yesterday.
Quick it was the recap. First day of the audio track, right? Boot camp happened, and then the magic kind of ensued. All sessions, all day. The first one that kicked it off was AAA audio quality in a mobile indie game, Omri Labeth.
Yeah.
From Audio Gaming. Really strong Unity presentation. They talked about the audio engine that they built for that, and dug into some details about how they accomplished procedurally in that game.
What I really liked about his presentation was that he did it running the tools live. He was one of the guys like opening up Reaper, showing how to build the assets there, opening up Unity and showing, just opening up the box a little bit, you know, let us peek inside. And for me, I've never made a game with Unity myself, so it's interesting to see how people work with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they had an interactive mixing system. They were able to tweak values of mix buses in real time. You know, turn off the music, turn off the vocalization layer for the player, right? All very compartmentalized, all very straightforward, and kind of, at this point, all very what you would expect when you're working on a game. Right, and so they had laid this all out very well. Did anyone else make it to that? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, man. They brought in so many different aspects.
Yeah.
Across you know, things that are involved in your play.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just touched. It seemed like a very clean system. It seemed clean, cohesive, like the way that they opened up the tools and were able to bring things.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Even the procedural stuff, that was tight.
The procedural stuff is cool. There's code online that we'll link to in the post for the podcast. But, you know, we're talking a server out next to the refrigerator in the garage. We're talking, like, mobile indie, right? So they're just, like, what do they call it, bootstrapping this on their own. And I feel like part of the reason why they went forward with this game was to kind of prove the idea of procedural, right? They're a plug-in manufacturer. They've got the wind, they've got the rain, they've got the fire procedural VSTs. And for me, I think in talking with them and having talked to them, I feel like this was an opportunity for them to create something that they were passionate about, first of all, the game, but also a proving ground for this procedural technology. So that was not so much the thrust of their presentation, but again, because that's kind of where their roots come from, I think it was cool that they chose to, you know, this is their product, but instead of just saying, here it is, they're saying, here's what we've done with it, and here's where procedural can go. And so I think that while that didn't come off in the presentation necessarily, I think that it's smart of them to try and put that into a product so that people can experience what they
And originally, of course, the guys working on it are also sound designers. He was talking a lot about what he did on Far Cry 2 as well. And so as developers themselves, it makes sense to try out your own stuff in the games that you want to make. So, yeah. So, and what was after that? I remember the audio callback synchro talk, which was amazing, I thought. I can't remember the name of the guy who did it, but all I'm going to say about that is that I chatted to him afterwards a little bit about him coming onto the podcast and talking about a little bit more about what they did with getting audio to synchronize with the rest of the game, and the music in particular for the Rayman games and everything like that. So. That was super cool.
He was talking very specifically about the concept of Mickey Mousing in games, right? And he had the first thing he kicked off was a cartoon from like forever ago, right? Where every animation was synced to, you know, the music at the time. And that was kind of, I think, speaks to the Rayman Origins concept, right? Where everything is very intrinsically linked to the music. And I think, to his point, you know, the audio callback system was something that he had to very explicitly build into the runtime audio engine, because it was very frame rate dependent as far as what the sync issues would be. I think that was really smart stuff.
Yeah. Let's see, we had a bass in your face talk. That was really cool.
Yeah, explicitly offering audio content.
Yeah.
So just, that was cool.
Yeah.
For the LFE.
Yeah. So that was interesting to hear that talk. And then Stefan Schutz did a talk. We're just getting joined here again by Daniel from Audio Games.
People keep filing in, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. But mainly that what I took away from the Bass in Your Face one was to make specific LFE content and have a library of LFE stuff. So then the Schutz talk was there. And Schutz was, he started off really strong, I thought, because he was preaching again. He's an amazing speaker. He really knows how to tell a story and to tell it clearly. He started off with perception and perception. And if you want to summarize his talk in one sentence, it would be, if you have a lot of mics and use them wisely, then you get a lot of different content very quickly. So I thought that was really cool. And he went into a lot of detail about it, but I'm not going to be able to do any justice to the way he does a talk. So, you know, we got some stuff with Schutz coming up as well. So we'll find out more about that.
Did anyone else see any other talks?
Yeah.
What else was going on in the stream?
That's pretty much us, but I think I picked the same ones.
Exactly.
I got the tail end of the Hitman one.
Cool.
Excellent. Yeah, we saw that talk in London. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so what was your take on that?
I guess my take on it was that I wish I could have seen more, you know? It was just like, getting a little flavor, but I wish I could have seen more. I was impressed having seen the first talk where he did, like, open up Reaper and Unity and, like, play around some stuff in real time. It might not be able to be done with something as big as Hitman, but having seen that and then seen other ones comparing it to it, I appreciate the first one where we can get a little bit down and dirty with their actual assets. So
instead
of less of a post-mortem, more of kind of like a let's dig into this sort of thing.
The scope of that, of course, was gigantic, right? Carson actually worked on Hitman a little bit as well as a contractor. But, you know, they've got their own tools, so that's a deep hole that they could fall into. And then the state-based
crowd system,
exactly, which is, I think, was kind of the thrust of the presentation we saw in London.
Oh, it was like a third of it,
Sure.
So, But we talked about those guys already a little bit, so we're moving on, I think.
Okay.
But I just wanted to, actually, yesterday, I wanted to talk about this a little bit, because Battlefield 4 trailer came online.
Yeah.
Amazing sounding game, of course. Like, yeah. Battlefield 3 won all the awards, and Battlefield 4 is definitely looking like it's sounding like it's going to be another awesome game. I've been a huge fan of the Battlefield franchise ever since 1942, so I'm just, as a gamer, stoked to get ready and play that game. But yeah, that was an awesome gameplay trailer they showed there. Yeah, the mirroring that they did really well at the live event that they had here. So yeah, looking forward to that. And
did
then
anyone else see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not, yeah, you saw it?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of intense, right?
Really intense. Really intense. I was listening to it just on my earbuds in like a cafeteria, so yeah. I can't comment too much on the sound, but when I saw the Battlefield 3 trailer,
the one with the sniper shot where they split up the story in little bits, that one?
The thing I was most impressed by in 3 was like all the lighting effects in the trailer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the 4th that was released yesterday was all the particles, like there was so much shit in the air.
Yeah.
Like heat warping and then like dust and burrs and stuff. It's like, wow.
That's some intense stuff for sure. Did anyone play the Medal of Honor game? Right? Me neither. Fine. But it's interesting how EA has adopted now the Frostbite engine and has started propagating it across the different studios, right? So Medal of Honor, EALA used Frostbite. And it'll be interesting to see how that continues to proliferate, because here you've got Battlefield 4, and like you say, you know, the particles absolutely up their game, right? And DICE is kind of the prototype for what they're doing with that engine.
True.
And I'm kind of interested to see how that continues to play out. Obviously, there was a Need for Speed game that was made with Frostbite, and, you know, again, I think it's an interesting initiative that EA has to use Frostbite across different properties within EA. So,
it's a successful engine, so other people that can take advantage of it are going to want to, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, so it's pretty cool to see that. And
obviously, you know, HDR, which has blown everyone away in the audio community, I feel like, over the past couple of years, has now started to move its way into WS. They're on the show floor this year.
Yeah.
They're showing off their 2013.1. They've got HDR built into it, and I see that as a direct kind of reaction to kind of the hype surrounding all of the DICE talks about HDR and Frostbite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's great to have leaders in this community who take the risk and try something different, and then
Develop it, and then are willing to share that idea to everybody. Because it was, you know, DICE being very open about what they were doing and giving it a name and doing talks about it, basically laying out kind of what the idea was, that really propelled that concept further. I mean, that's how we got a hold of it for the Killzone franchise. You know, so for sure. Also, of course, FMOD released FMOD Studio
1.0.
Yeah,
it's out.
Yeah,
go download it. Game on.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to sit down with them, with the thing and try it out. But I'm definitely gonna move around on the studio floor.
Yeah,
today and see what that's about.
Yeah, so I had a brief hands-on with it, and you know, I'm glad that they're pushing it in a direction where it seems like there's an analogy for people coming from a pro audio background. They've got the control surface, they've got this interface that reflects the kind of Ableton Live kind of experience, where you've got this parameterization, and it's good to see them moving in that direction, because I feel like, again, they're upping their game, they're moving on from Designer. They basically deprecated Designer and said, this is it, this is the new hotness. And to have a 1.0 at this point is extremely exciting for developers who are interested in using that technology.
And they've been talking about FMO Studio for a while now. I think it was like announced about 2 years ago or something like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, also that is quite a long time. So I think it was like everybody was really talking all the time. When's it coming? So it's really good that they have something out there, and and you can start iterating on it. People are going to be using it. Means you're gonna find out what people like and don't like about it much more quickly, of course. So it'll be cool.
Did anyone else go to the expo floor?
Expo floor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your impression of it? Yeah.
It's always overwhelming.
Yeah.
Running into people I didn't expect to see, but it's kind of a continuum. Last year it seemed more separated. GCC flavors in one section.
Yeah.
Expo floors are here for everybody and together, but now it's kind of all one floor. So you kind of get this intense fluid of space. I spent a lot of time with a developer friend of mine who went to ProMess and Pavement, and was talking about this mobile space and how that tool is continuing to develop.
Yeah.
I've read, we're getting more hefty tools for browser-based development.
Right.
Which, of course, is kind of just people like what we do.
Yeah.
So, just trying to see the streamline from game development to a single launch title. We were talking about this yesterday on Watch, but that's just the start of the process. So, having the tools in the front end of development to make sure that Watch is fluid, it's going to pay off.
Oh man,
which was the
IGF.
Highlight for me.
It's a beautiful thing. I could spend my whole day at the IGF just playing those cool games and talking to the developers. Again, what a beautiful experience to be able to not only play these, cream of the crop indie games, but also have the developer right there. We talked to Jan from Lucky Frame about Bad Hotel, and it's like, the dude was drilling down deep on the procedural system that they built with MidPD for the game, and it's like, that's a resource you only get, by being here.
So speaking of IGF and all that stuff, I've heard there was like award stuff going on yesterday as well. Is anybody like aware of actually what happened? Because I was up to a lot of stuff last night, but awards were not in my mind.
I know that 140 took it for the IGF in audio.
Wow, that's
word
amazing.
Up. Congrats to y'all.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. What else? George, you were saying something?
Yeah, Journey destroyed everything.
Okay.
In a really great way.
Rightfully so.
Journey took sound and art and best game and lots of
really?
Stuff.
Wow.
I'm looking
it was
at,
it was a good game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's disparaging at all. No, I see. The awards for them were best visual art, best game design, best download.
Game of the Year.
Yeah, so
wow, congratulations to the guys that worked on that.
You bet they have.
Come on, guys. So, let's see. And there was that awards. Wasn't there another awards thing at the same time? I'm really bad.
IGF, Game Developer's Choice.
All right.
Everyone should go at least once.
Yeah.
It's like the Grammys or the Oscars of game development. And, it's great when you got some people who are up for things and they get recognized for the great work they do. So.
Yeah, and speaking of awards, of course, tonight there's Gang Awards.
Right.
There's a ton of cool stuff happening today. I think like there's a lot of mixing focus at GDC today. There's a lot of tech. Jason Page, looking forward to his talk over there.
Yep.
Bridget
pulling together
Bridget mixing panel.
We'll talk about that more tomorrow.
Yeah, like I said, just quickly going through all that stuff. It's going to be an amazing day.
We can
talk about all the things that there might be going to talk about there. Loudness, that's the one you've been hinting at all week now. Like, they're getting ready to say something about the state of things in loudness and game wide, I guess, now that Sony come out with the standard.
Totally.
And gang party, and then after all that, we'll get some sleep maybe, and see you tomorrow morning, and we'll fill you in.
Yeah. Thank goodness for the coffee. Starting to feel a little bit human this morning, and it's great to see you guys. Thanks for coming out again to be on the podcast. It's been good.